Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Soul Power Live presents Embracing Love Retreat. It's a wellness event to inspire women to embrace your most important treasure, you. This two-day event will include therapeutic massage, a concert, healthy living presentations, exhibitors, and more. So much more fun, November 15th through the 17th at Dolce Atlanta Peachtree, 201 Aberdeen Parkway, Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, soulpowerlive.com.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I've said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word, but really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F-word. How about you?
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Thank you. life anew to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be. If you wanna be I know to compare with your imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be.
That all things do come together for the good. All of our lives we continually search for truth and the freedom it will bring. Going through life full of expectations blocks our freedom to be fully present in any situation. Holding a clear vision in the present moment of what will be done allows us to release our expectations and moves us into the intention of the moment.
Yes, indeed. It's time to break the chain. Break it. Dissolve it. Let it go. Yes, indeed. You can find Break the Chain. The music can be found at 1 Billion Rising. It's very powerful. 1BillionRising.org. Before that, you heard yours truly, All Good, Ambassador Sophia. And before that, we always start out with Pure Imagination with George Skrillex. And you can find George's wonderful music at ezvictorzonemusic.com. And before that, you heard an affirmation. We are great, we are wonderful. That was by Carly Jackson. That's Carlie Jackson, Jaxen. And she can be found on Facebook. That should be pretty easy. And right now you're listening to my heart, my compassion, my music, my heartbeat. Can you feel the love? Can you feel the love? It's all around you. No matter what you think and where you think it is at any given time and who you think might be holding it for you, it's all inside. It comes from a greater source than anyone can ever imagine. And it's a wellspring that we can dip into at a moment's notice. We never have to worry because it's always there. And there's always more. So no matter where and when the deprivation feels like it's coming in, just know all you have to do is breathe it in. So welcome, 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 welcome back to the playground of life, the play experience. I am Ombas Sofira, and I am always one with all beauty, all truth, all wisdom, all justice, and always, 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 always all love. We are continuing our theme of embracing love this week with one of my very favorite playmates, Dr. Amani Ma'at. We have so much wonderfulness in common that we, when I look at her, I see her as a mirror because of the love that we carry, and we'll be talking more about that with her. You know, she shines. That's all I can tell you. And if you look on the page, the show page, you'll see that brilliance. So I am happy to really introduce to you today on the playground. I'm so happy she came. Imani is a health educator and a behavioral scientist who worked with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention for 22 years. She specialized in community and international health, HIV, AIDS, and chronic diseases. She's also an adjunct assistant professor in the Master of Public Health, the program of Morehouse School of Medicine, teaching courses such as women's health and development, research methods, and intercultural communications and health. Dr. Ma'at is a CEO of her own business, appropriately titled Focus Health, LLC, which specializes in educational workshop design and implementation, focus group design, implementation, and analysis of data. And without further ado, I'm going to open my arms and give a big hug to my sister. Welcome, Imani, Imani, Imani. Faith. That's what we always have to have.
Hey, Sister Ambassa. Que pasa, Ambassa?
Que pasa, baby?
Oh, it's so nice to be on your show. Your entrance music has just put me, like, in such a cooled out, wonderful place. You know, because as we spoke earlier, you know, we're both planning these women's retreats, and you know, the objective of the retreats is rest and relaxation and empowerment and wisdom around health and self self-knowing and all of these things. And, you know, I'm like, we're not supposed to be stressing as we put these together.
Absolutely. Ooh. Absolutely. It's real. It's real. Mm. Well, first, let's do the protocol on the playground. We got to let everybody, all the other playmates, know just who Imani is. Who is Dr. Imani Ma'at?
Oh, I'm you know, an author, a poet, a health educator, a mom, a grandmom, a wife. I like working with youth. I have a teen theater program where we teach youth about important health issues using drama and music and dance. And we're actually getting ready to go back into the studio and reproduce a play that I wrote some years ago about diabetes. So that's one piece. I'm very, very excited about that because it's a powerful, powerful play. And
what did you say it was about? I'm sorry.
It's about diabetes. And nutrition and health. Yes, it's very, very, very powerful piece. And then it's all, you know, it's like edutainment. That's the term that's used for that. Mm-hmm. So we're excited. We're shooting for the 14th Street Playhouse in terms of rolling it out probably sometime in the spring. We don't have the dates finalized yet, but we're very, very working with some really, really well-versed people in theater and staging and all of that. So that's, you know, one piece of what I do. And I also do workshops called Healthy Haiku Workshop, which really grew out of the theater program. The workshops were a way to expand what we were doing to include poetry and spoken word and take it out to schools and churches and mentoring organizations. So we empower youth through the word, you know, and giving them voice to speak about important health issues, including things like violence and, you know, delaying sex and smoking and drinking and drugs and so many things, HIV and AIDS. So we the nice thing that we do is give them a safe space to create their own stories and words about how these important health issues are impacting their lives and affecting their lives. So we it's so much fun that it doesn't feel like a class. Yeah. Like, you know, I don't get up there and lecture to them. And so I've actually taken the health and the haiku, for those who might not be familiar, is an ancient Japanese form of poetry from the 17th century that uses 17 syllables to tell a big, big, big story with just a few words. So one of the ones that I have in my, because I have two publications, a full training manual and another poetry book related to the Healthy Haiku workshops. But one of the poems in the violence chapter is, and it's very easy to picture, and it goes, "When he pulled back his fist, he stared at the lifeless face of his best friend." And that's it, you know, and from there it opens up dialogue. Mm-hmm. We talk about ways of resolving conflict that don't involve violence, that rely more on using your brain and thinking through it and talking and love and, you know, and understanding why we're there with that person in the first place, you know, because most violence occurs between people that know each other, you know, so you have to kind of take them back to the love and the friendship and the, you know, and what brought them together in the first place so that you don't have outcomes like this child lying on the ground. And after I wrote that poem, it was probably maybe 2 months later that I was watching 6 o'clock news, which I never do. I think I was just walking through the room. Somebody else was watching it. And there was that story about a child who had killed his best friend, you know, by hitting him in the temple. Mm. And you can't take that back. That's gone forever. you know. Mm-hmm. So what I have done, like because I've taught women's health courses, you know, the community knows Sister Dejan Dixon Diallo. She's on WRFG. She has the sisters. No, I'm not going to blank on the name of her program, but she's been working in HIV AIDS for many years.
Yes, Sister Love.
Sister Love, thank you.
Love is a backsmash
myself. But she, we taught for many years at Morehouse School of Medicine. So where was I going with Dejan? Anyway, it's okay.
Oh,
good.
Really,
but
okay.
Where I was going was that I've actually, and I've also taught a course with the Center for Black Women's Wellness, where we use the healthy haiku approach and work with women. So yeah, that's where I was going. So I have used this strategy where, you know, we talk about and brainstorm about important health issues. I like especially, you know, focusing on nutrition and health and wellness and exercise. But we do a real creative piece. I won't give it all away because I want them to come to your retreat and to my retreat. So, you know, I'll be doing it there. But the end product of our work together is performance, where we actually have women standing up and reciting the poetry that they've written or the spoken word pieces that they've written. And it's so much fun. And the whole thing, again, just like the theater work, reinforces health and healthy behaviors, healthy decisions, building self-esteem, you know, feeling better about yourself. Laughing, we laugh a lot. I know you do that. And like you said, you know, when I look at you, Ombasa, I see the reflection of myself, which is I'm humbled by that that you said that, you know, because we've had some similar ideas about play and health and wealth wellness, and it's all good. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
So I'll come up for air because, you know, I have a radio show too, and I'm muted. I'll mute myself and let you talk.
Okay, I had to do that, but then I said, oh, wait a minute, let me just make sure she knows I'm here, because I'm just enjoying so much, you know. But I am getting ready to come right back at you, though, because, you know, one of the things that back in 93 when I started Natural Healers Network, and I think we met sometime after that, I think it was after when we got back from England, but it was, you know, you said you worked for the Center for Disease Control for 22 years. And, you know, when I think about that, I think about the reason why I started the network. It wasn't to abolish the medicine as it is and has been. It was more to align with it and create a bridge, if you will, to see how we could use what medicine has quote unquote evolved to, and what we know from a traditional and an ancient way, the ancient method. Mm-hmm. And so I personally am in love with the ancient methods, but I still like to learn and know more and grow more with whatever is there to be able to align with. And so what I wanted to know was, what was your experience and when you were working at that particular institution, and how did it contribute to your work today?
Good question. You know, I was there for 22 years, 11 years in the HIV prevention program, and that was a really good experience. I won't talk about the internal politics because, you know, every corporation has that, but it was a really good experience in terms of exposing me to communities, people working all over the country, all over the globe, because I did a lot of international travel when I was in HIV. I went to Brazil, I went to South Africa a couple times, I went to Nigeria. So there are a number of places that I went to, you know, and saw people who just had really, really big hearts and wanted to help others who were either ill or who had family members who were ill. So that was a real eye-opener to me, the second part in terms of working in chronic diseases, I was the director of a national program called REACH 2010, Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health. And we funded communities to the tune of $1 million each to come up with creative strategies to address coalitions, actually, which had really unique partners. They had the typical public health partners, the health departments, the universities, the community-based organizations. They also had hospitals. They had schools. They had fire departments. They had atypical or non-traditional public health partners. So it was really beautiful working with that program because we funded, I want to say, 41 programs at a lower level. And then the second, after the first year, was, another competition. I think we had about 31 programs funded at close to $1 million around the country. So it was a really great experience. We had other partners in California. We had the California Endowment that funded two programs for us, collaborating with us. So it was a really good experience. But the one thing I kept noticing, because at CDC we work with in health promotion. We work with statisticians, we work with epidemiologists, we work with program managers and program directors, and folks all over. But what I was seeing was, from the statistician friends, was that the numbers in terms of, even though we had these wonderful programs that were creating new strategies to deal with things like diabetes and high blood pressure and HIV and infant mortality and breast and cervical cancer. So even though we had these great projects going on, the numbers were still going up dramatically, especially in African American and Hispanic and Native American communities across the country. And, I said, something's got to give. And that was when I really first started, decided I really wanted to work with the youth. And I was reading through your book, the Soul Journey to Truth, the book I got from you some years ago. And it talks about how when we come in, we know what we want to do. Once we kind of shake it off, once we've made that transition from the void to being here, our little spirits know why we came here, and then we sort of forget as we get older. And I remember as a child, people ask me, what do you do? What do you want to do when you grow up? And I would always say, I want to work with children. I would always say that, and then as I got older, somewhere that got fuzzy, after going to college and going to graduate schools and all of that, it's like, okay, and what happened to my desire to work with the children? And somehow it sort of snapped back at me when I saw these statistics and saw what was happening. I said, we're just creating every year the next generation of people with diabetes and high blood pressure and obesity, and I said the only way for me, and it's not the only way for everyone else, but for me what made the most sense was to get to the children, because with the children we're planting seeds, we're planting seeds that might not sprout right away because they're not necessarily the ones who shop for food. So you could talk to children all day long about proper nutrition. But so we did learn that we had to work with the parents as well. But, if you have a 7-year-old who understands about basic nutrition and how that fuels the mind, body, and soul to do your work here on land, it's so amazing. And, not just that, but through working with the children, we do so much in terms of building their self-esteem and helping them to get back on their path to figure out what it is they're doing here, why they're here, what their purpose is, what makes them more unique, what makes them unique. Each of us is here for a very specific reason, and a lot of us forget that, and we just start becoming sheeple, and going on with the okey-doke and not really knowing who we are and what we're supposed to be doing that's different from what everyone else is doing. you know, with our unique gifts and insight and stuff. So CDC was an amazing, amazing experience for me because it just opened my eyes. I mean, I had some incredible experiences. When I tell you, you know, with HIV, being in South Africa, we went and met with, there was a team of us that was there, and I went a couple times, but I remember on this one journey, it was a team of us that went to, this is early in the epidemic in South Africa. You know, in fact, this was right before apartheid was ended, right before the elections. And, you know, there was a lot of tension in the air and all of that. And it was real clear after, I mean, we met with the ANC and we met with, you know, all types of folks, program people and stuff on that trip. But it was unfortunate because it was just clear that it was a low priority for the incoming government. They just had so much to deal with in terms of housing and education and blah, blah, blah. So HIV was down on the list, and unfortunately what we predicted would happen did happen in terms of the growing epidemic there. But one of the most beautiful things I have ever experienced in my life, we were in a small room with people from the village. You know, it was like, I remember it was a Sunday, and it was elder women mostly, maybe from the 50s all the way up probably to 80s. And they were educators in their community. And the room was set up with like a U-shaped table. And we walked in, and it was a group of scientists and health educators and folks, managers from CDC and a couple of other agencies here in the U.S. And so they went back and forth translating about why we were there, what was our purpose, you know, because we were really coming to find out how we could help in terms of their programs and approaches. Well, anyway, once these women found out that we were there to assist, you know, to help, and to share what we knew, you know, and hopefully, you know, save some lives there, these women got up and began singing and dancing in a way that I have never, ever experienced in my life. I mean, I was standing there, and I could not choke back the tears. I'm standing there, and the tears are streaming down. I mean, I'm smiling, and the tears are streaming down my face. And I'm like, wow, this is church.
Mm.
You know?
This is church.
I've never been to church like this before, because they were so beautiful. Their spirits were so beautiful. And it just, you know, it just fueled me and my passion to want to be like them, to want to give, to want to share with the community, and do what I can to change people's lives, to help inspire, empower, whatever, so that we get out of this slumber that so many of us are in this country and around the globe.
Absolutely. It's time to wake up. It is definitely time to wake up.
Oh, yeah.
I want to ask you some more questions about the bridge, and do you really feel, how do you really feel about it today? But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. All righty.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Soul Power Live presents Embracing Love Retreat. It's a wellness event to inspire women to embrace your most important treasure, you. This two-day event will include therapeutic massage, a concert, healthy living presentations, exhibitors, and more. So much more fun, November 15th through the 17th at Dolce Atlanta Peachtree, 201 Aberdeen Parkway, Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, soulpowerlive.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-425-2255. 424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Wow, and we are back with Dr. Imani Ma'at, one of my favorite playmates here on the playground. Imani, are you still with me?
Absolutely, absolutely. Do you think I would leave this seat? I'm just at such peace, and I think this is the most relaxed I have been in weeks. This is wonderful. Thank you so much, Ambassa, for creating this space.
It is my, like I say, my plum-pleasing pleasure.
Wow. Yes, well, you're doing it right. You're doing it right. And it's just no coincidence. There are no coincidences in the universe. The fact that I'm having a retreat on the 9th and you're having one for women the following weekend, it just doesn't get embedded in that.
It really doesn't. And I definitely want us to go through that and what people are going to be expecting from that. I just want to close out with this this idea of bridging, in terms of bridging health, because we are both very passionate about health. And I know that, we come in it, and with the drama, with the play, with the music, with the sound, we deal with all of it. And I was very excited when I heard you talking about diabetes and working with a play about that, because the first thing that comes to mind for me is what I really do believe, and that is every single illness has a thought, a mental construct that creates it. And it's a seed there that comes from the feeling about that thought and then going back and forth and creating that big, big, big entity of whatever that disease or illness is. And I know that it causes us to be able to want certain things, to eat certain things, to do certain things that contribute to the demise of whatever it is that we are calling our life, in our lives, you know. So I feel that, in this, there has to be at some point some bridge that we can, you and I and other people who are looking into this natural way, that we can see that bridge to be able to help it to form greater. Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do you see this bridge at all now?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, it's a thought. But, something happens with that thought. I have worked with children as young as preschoolers and first graders and second graders, and I asked them, so how many of you know somebody in your life that has diabetes? A mother, grandmother, uncle, auntie, whatever. Every single hand in the class goes up. And so the next question is, so, how many of you think that you're going to get diabetes? Half of the hands go up. And so I ask, why do you think you're going to get diabetes? Well, it's in my family. My auntie has it, my uncle has it, my dad has it, and everyone has it. So, I just know that at some point I'm going to have diabetes too. And I'm like, okay, let's get rid of that thought. and it's like, like you said, there's a seed that's planted. And so, is it the seed that comes first or is it the bad eating that comes first? Yeah. But whatever it is, it's all intertwined, and I have to somehow explain to them that what runs in families are similar patterns of eating and behaviors. So
that's right. And, and their thoughts.
Their thoughts.
How many times have you heard somebody say, well, that's just what we do. That's what my family, that's what I was taught. That's the way I was brought up. That's what, and they claim that as a legacy. And when you think about diabetes, I've known diabetes to always be, when you think of anybody that has diabetes, think about whether or not They are longing for what might have been. That's just the Louisa had. She brought out them when she brought that out, because all of the things that, you know, I can relate to some of them very strongly when I look at the people who actually have those quote-unquote diseases,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when
mm-hmm.
you think about the thoughts being passed down and people, you know, you think about we heal for our seven generations before and after, and you think about mm-hmm. how when we change our thoughts and we heal ourselves fully, you know, because you and I, you know, it can be said that we're dealing with mental health and emotional health a lot of times.
Oh, absolutely.
When we're dealing with,
absolutely. Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's real. It's very real. And so, you know, when we get into, you know, and I really want to know what actually inspired you. I know how I got, but what inspired you to get in to do what you're doing now with the arts? And as it relates to health, what actually was the trigger point?
I'll tell you, one of the trigger points for me, one of the things that helped me to remember what I'm doing
mm-hmm.
here and what my purpose mm-hmm. is, we had, CDC had sponsored a youth conference, a performing arts conference in California at Disney World, or Land, or whatever one
mm-hmm.
is out there, at Disney in mm-hmm. California. And
mm-hmm.
It was performing. There were performing arts groups from around the country, all teenagers and, you know, young adults. You know, the oldest one, maybe 25, but most were teenagers. So there were groups of teens that descended on Disney to do a teach-in around HIV and AIDS. So they came with their own performances, and then they had workshops, and they were studying, and they actually came up with a new group performance by the end of, like, a 3 or 4 day period. And I was walking through, I mean, the workshops were just amazing, first of all. And the teens were amazing. But I was walking
mm-hmm.
through the lobby of the hotel where we were, and there was a young man who was, like, tap dancing on the piano. Somebody else was playing the piano. And, you know, the young folks were around them singing and clapping and all that. And I'm like, I am home. This is what I do. And it was just, I mean, it just went to the core of me. And I, it's like, there was no looking back. I probably started my teen theater group a couple months
yeah.
after that experience, because
yeah.
that was it for me. So it's funny that you asked. I haven't thought about that in a long time. But
yeah.
again, I think we come in knowing roughly what
yeah.
it is we want to do, and then we get confused. as we're here in the physical, and it's like something to take something to jog our memory and remind us, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Yes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
my group is, yes, Youth Educational Services for
yes.
Health. You know,
yes.
so yes, that was it. That, thank you
yes.
for asking me that, because
yes.
that was it. That was yes.
And
that was it.
That's one of my favorite words. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing is that I've been like a closet poet all of my life. You know, writing poetry and stuffing it in a drawer somewhere, and I've got files and files of poetry. So, I had with the Healthy Haiku, how that came about. This is, you know, some years later. The first time haiku came back to me, I was going through a training program in New York City on becoming a Montessori teacher. And it was at an African-American Champs Montessori school in Harlem. Such a wonderful experience, because at the time I thought I wanted to teach, you know, young children. I had a young son myself at the time. But anyway, did I have him yet? Yes, I sure did. So anyway, went through this training, and we had a class. I mean, one morning session, the class was all women, and someone came in to teach us about how to use haiku with small children. And they, you know, they had us writing these, you know, 17 syllable poems, and they gave us an exercise to take a lifesaver, like the lifesaver candy.
Yeah.
And turn the taste of a lifesaver in our mouth into haiku, When I tell you this was the most erotic poetry I had ever heard, and these women were so straight. I mean, they were so, you know, did not look like the type that would write erotic poetry. I mean, we're sitting there fanning ourselves like, woo, woo, you know, rolling sweetly, dripping off my tongue, blah, blah, blah. But
oh, my goodness. And do you remember it now? Can you recite it now?
I did. No, I'm not going there.
No, what? Why? This is the playground of life. We're dealing with, wait a minute, Yamani, we're dealing with passionately loving, appreciating.
Oh, my goodness. I'd have to write it out because I don't remember any specific ones. I don't. But it had to do with, you know, sweet, drippy, rolling off the tongue, you know, making me tingle, blah, 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 you know. And it was 17 syllables. Each of these women wrote this erotic poem. Now, we're talking about children, right? We're supposed to be focusing on children with the Lifesavers, and we all just kind of flipped the switch, and it became like erotica 101.
You're going to be doing a healthy lifestyle, and now maybe we need to change it to healthy haiku.
Oh, absolutely. Did you think I was not going to do a healthy haiku workshop with you all? Oh no, we are doing it, and so since I put the thought out there about the erotic haiku, we'll probably have fun with that, you know?
Yes, I think that's the order of the day. So let's speak about your Lifesaver is so perfect. Oh, my goodness, Lifesaver.
It is
think about
so
it.
Perfect.
We might need to rename your play shop for the retreat and just call it Lifesaver.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, I love it.
You know, yeah. it is so much fun, and I think I may do that at my retreat as well, just to test it out on a smaller group. But it is so much fun, and so you learn the skills of writing haiku. You know, you learn about. We'll do a piece on health and wellness, but we're going to have some amazing products as a result of this. And, you know, I have a blog, so we can put it on the blog. You know, folks can get published as a result of the retreat because, you know, I no longer stuff the drawers anymore. I just, you know, when I think of it, I put it on a blog. I write about it, you know. For me, writing has always been a way of releasing and healing, you know, just like we were with the women healers and educators in South Africa. I saw some really painful things there, you know, things that did not make sense to me. Like there was a woman outside of a clinic on a gurney. The clinic held maybe the room was a small room, like the size of a big bedroom, and had chairs for maybe 25 people. There were about 75 people, you know, lining the walls, waiting to be served. And there was this lady laying on a gurney outside of the little office in the sun, you know, on this gurney because she was too weak, you know, to stand and wait to be seen. And, you know, that thing just pierced my heart. And you know, I was with a group of folks who, you know, more sciencey, techie, and they weren't feeling it like me, you know, and I couldn't necessarily speak everything that I was feeling. So I wrote poetry. I have one of those. The poem about that woman on the gurney is in my curriculum training manual, promoting healthy knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors among youth. So it was a long time for me before I could recite that poem without tears coming out of my eyes, because you know, I mean, near the end, you know, I hope that she's made. That she's gone, that her spirit is free, because that was no way to live, you know. But so, you know, I've always been very, very passionate. I love writing poetry. So the blending the poetry with public health was just a natural for me. It just made so much sense, you know. And I'm loving doing that. I've been gone from CDC since 2010. I started on September 11th in 88 and left on September 11th in 2010. So funny that it was September 11th. But, you know, I really felt like I was liberating myself when I left there. It's like, okay, now I can start my work. You know, now I have enough tools, enough
courage, you know.
Yeah, that's what you need.
Hire myself. I said the fear is gone. And I had coworkers coming to me, all different races, ethnicities, ages, coming up to me saying, wow, you're leaving. Wow. And you know, it was like I was escaping from prison or something. I'm like, you know, you're as free as you want to be. Okay. I said, so take a hint. You are as free as you want to be. You know, and if we want to be following somebody else's list of priorities, you know, and you want someone to give you something to do every day or every month or whatever, then that's fine. But, you know, for those who are trying to liberate themselves and create a better world, you can't necessarily, and I'm not downing people who are in the 9-to-5 because I did it for more than 22 years. That was just my last job.
That's right.
But, you know, I always encourage people to think about their passions and how they can turn that into their profession, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's get in about your retreat. I don't want us to end. We have a couple of minutes left, and I want to make sure people know what your retreat is about. I want them to know where it is and the beautiful spot that it's going to be located and all that good stuff. Go ahead and let it rip.
It is Saturday, November 9th, the Fabulous Women's Health Spa Retreat in Stone Mountain, Georgia. It's on a 3-acre wooded retreat center from 10 o'clock a.m. to 5 p.m., and I know we're going to go past 5. You know, we're telling people to bring their yoga mats, bring some comfortable clothes, bring a towel for the spa because we will have an infrared spa. In addition to people like Jamila Franklin Oyende, who's going to be talking about aromatherapy, Sister Ombasa Sofero, who's going to talk about healing through play, Kwanda Deshin, who's going to be speaking about caring for the caregivers. Baba Yoga Bay is going to be teaching us yoga. He is a master. Sister Aggie Nasheed is going to be teaching, demonstrating how she creates these wonderful, wonderful live and raw dishes. She's going to have some prepared, and she's going to show the sisters how to make their own. And when I tell you, I stopped by there the other day, and she kept giving me samples of different things, and I was like, oh, my goodness. She's amazing. She's amazing. So we are so, so very excited about the day. We also have Saraya Abdul-Mateen, who's going to be doing guided meditation and the sound vibration healing using the Tibetan bowls. And
wow.
The chimes, oh, my goodness. It's packed.
It's going to be heaven.
It's packed. And we,
it's going to be heaven.
It is going to be amazing. And we're doing a special. Yeah. I don't want to say give out the price over your line, but people can register. We have a limited registration because it's a retreat center. We're on 3 acres, but the center itself is not huge, so we don't want to have more than 15 to 20 participants. But we are doing a special of 2-for-1. So the registration is the same whether you come by yourself or bring a buddy. So we're hoping that you bring a buddy. The registration site is my name, Imani Ma'at, imaniMaat.info. So that's imaniMaat.info. And you can also call me. Some people had trouble running their cards on that site. I'm not sure why. I'm going to check it. But they can also call me, 404-702-4382. And we can take registrations over the phone as well as on that site. But it is going to be an amazing, amazing day. And so Ombasa has me doing erotic poetry, too.
That's right. We have to do it. We have to bring it out because it is what the work that we're doing, we know we're experts on being a woman. We're experts. No one can tell us how to be the woman that we are. And as we keep and continue to strive, you know, in the background, this song is for you. And this song is for me. Sherry Marie is bringing us Time to Shine. We're going to go out with
wonderful.
That. And Dr. Mani, I am just so enamored. I am so thankful.
Thank you, my sister.
And
well, I love you too. And I can't wait to Yeah, I can't wait for you to be there with us at our retreat, the Fabulous Women's Health Spa Retreat, and I can't wait to be at your retreat the following weekend. Oh, my goodness. It's so beautiful. It's all love. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right, beloved. Well, I'm giving you big hugs. I love you.
Oh, love you, too. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Take care now.
All right.
Bye-bye. Much love.
All right. We're going to bring up Sherry Marie. Sherry Marie's going to take us out with Time to Shine. And if you want to hear more from Sherry Marie, she'll be here with us next week to talk about her Love Sanctuary concert at the Embracing Love Retreat in Peachtree, Georgia. I have to think about it again. All right, y'all. I love you. I bless you. And I thank the Creator for you. I'm about to out. It's Time to Shine.
Perfectly, right now. So don't let anybody change your mind. Come on!
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.